Start it. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we.
And we're live and back at the Willie P Show. And today we're going to talk about the Cavs and the Raptors, that wonderful game that they blessed us with last night. And today I got a special guest, and he goes by the name of Mark. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, man? What's going on?
Oh, man, hey, it went down last night in the North, man. Did you get a chance to catch that Toronto and Cleveland game?
I did a little bit. I saw that the Raptors won the game, but I saw the Cavaliers trying to come back, and they were down a big deficit, but they tried to come back, but it was just too much for the Cavs to make it all the way back.
Yeah, man, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan had an awesome game last night, man. Those guys combined, I think, for like 67 points last night, man. I think Lowry had 35 and DeRozan had 32. But the story to me was LeBron James. In the last 5 minutes of that game, man, he only took one shot. Now, to be considered still the best player in the world, how can you go down the stretch, man, and not have but one shot in the last 5 minutes of a ball game that was actually there for that for the taking? I mean, they were only down, they were up 2 points with 5 minutes to go, and they lose that game.
Yeah, I think he wanted to try to defer the Kyrie, because you know that Kyrie took more shots in the fourth quarter. So I think that was what they were trying to do, but this didn't help much. LeBron didn't get the Cavaliers over the cliff.
But I mean, it was no Kevin Love sighting at all in the fourth quarter last night, man. Tyronn Lue went with the hot hand with Channing Frye. And, I mean, Channing Frye came through, but still at the end of the day, you got a $100 million man sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, they said that he tweaked his knee in the third quarter, and he had to sit out the rest of the fourth quarter just for a precaution. But they said that he might start game five.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't get that injury report on that. Well, I mean, if that's the case, I understand that, you know, because, you know, that game was pretty much – it was still in hand for Cleveland to win it, but, you know, they faltered in the end. But I tell you what, ever since they've been in Toronto, man, actually, it's no J.R. Smith sighting. I mean, he's faded. I mean, those guys look – in the first two games in Cleveland, they look unstoppable, man. They was knocking down threes from really like a parking lot, you know what I'm saying? But that guy didn't got in Toronto, like they hadn't seen the basket before or something.
And I kind of felt that Toronto was going to win in their home floor. I thought I had Cleveland in five, but I kind of figured that Toronto could make things interesting. But I think when Cleveland swings it back to game five, you'll see the more dominant Cavs again. And I think people are giving Toronto less credit than they are. They won 56 games in the regular season. They should belong there in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, you know what? I expect them to play better, too, once they get home. I think, you know, they get home, get some good home cooking and that good stuff. But they just, I mean, a lot of people don't understand. You had to look at the series before it started. Toronto took 3 out of 4 against Cleveland, and Kyle Lowry has actually outplayed Kyrie Irving in that series throughout the whole season. And especially back in Toronto, I mean, Kyrie got the best of him in Cleveland, but Kyle Lowry has been coming on the last two games, man. He's been awesome, man. I mean, what can you say about that kid?
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. Like, how he can set up players and then how he can score points, getting inside buckets, shooting from the outside. He's been, along with DeMar DeRozan, their best scoring option.
Right. I'm going to tell you another thing that's interesting to me. They have taken Damari Carroll off of LeBron and put Bismarck Biyombo on. And Bismarck Biyombo has actually, you know, I ain't saying he's stopping LeBron, but, you know, he had a block on LeBron, which they called it a foul last night, late in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was clean, but to me, he's actually frustrating LeBron, so to speak.
Oh, really? Yeah, like for me, watching Bismarck Biyombo when he was with the Charlotte Hornets, I knew that he had that capability, that he's doing that Dikembe Mutombo invitation of the finger wag, that he can't block shots. He's playing valuable minutes. He's getting boards like crazy. So I give it up for Bismack Biyombo, and he's pretty much their best defender on the Raptors. You could say Damari Carroll, but the way Bismack Biyombo is playing right now, he's been playing lights out, especially getting the rebounds and all that. 26 last game, 14 this game, crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, but we're going to slide off the NBA talk for a second. I want to go to some football, and I know you're a big-time Carolina fan. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, everybody knows the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? And we got to talk a little bit about Cam, man. I am a Cam fan. I promise you, man. I love me some Cam. But in that post-game interview, what did you think about how he reacted in the post-game interview?
To me, it wasn't the greatest light, but I'll tell you this. Do you like to lose? Does anyone
Absolutely
like to
not.
Lose?
No,
like,
I don't
to
like
me,
to lose at all.
I feel that he was showing his true emotions, that he didn't feel like answering the questions that all the guys like Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson will say, oh, we gave it the old college try, but Cam Newton actually showed his emotions. And Cam Newton said himself that he is a sore loser, that he doesn't like to lose, and none of us like to lose. So I think that's how it came across. And then having that in combination of Chris Harris and all them, you know,
right,
saying, yeah, we beat the Panthers, and the back of them just kind of, like, made them want to get up and leave. I left, too, if I heard that in the background.
Hey, you know what? I kind of like that quote, and I might be misquoting it for a second, but that quote when he says, show me a loser, and I show you a person that loses all the time, something along that line. But, hey, I'm going to tell you, what about your defense? Josh Norman went to the Redskins. Do you think that you guys have quality depth at the defensive back area, or, you know, can you find another diamond in the rough like a Josh Norman? Because, really, he was like a diamond in the rough, you guys, man. He came out of, you know, a small college up in, I think, in the Carolina area, if I'm right, and they took a chance
Coastal
on him. Coastal Carolina, and they took a chance on him, and he hit. You know, he bet on himself, and he came through. So do you guys feel like you got, you know, again, quality depth to back that up, or, you know, are you guys have to, I don't know what your guys went with your draft pick, but, I mean, how y'all going to shake out on defense this year? You think you're going to be all right?
I think so. The Panthers still house one of the best front sevens in all of football with Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis at linebacker. You have Kawan Short and Scarlett Tulele at defensive tackles. And then you have Coney Ealy, Charles Johnson at defensive end. So that's a stellar group right there. With the defensive backfield, that I agree with you that Josh Norman is going to leave a huge void, but with the draft, we selected three cornerbacks in a row with James Bradbury, Daryl Worley, and Zach Sanchez. And I think with those three guys, they could play the zone much like Josh Norman can. And I think they'll fill in with the defense quite nicely. We still have one of the best safeties back there in Kurt Coleman. And we have Trey Boston. I'm sorry. The Panthers have Trey Boston and Kurt Coleman at safety. So I think the defensive backfield is going to be trying. It's going to be like moving part to see what works. But I think the defense will be just fine with this defense, with the front seven creating pressure. So the cornerbacks and the safeties can still get interceptions. And they're still calling themselves Thieves Avenue. So I can't wait for the season to begin.
Okay. Speaking of the season, give me a quick prediction of you guys' record this year.
For the Panthers' record, I would say about 10-6 and win the NFC South for the fourth straight year in a row. I feel confident I know the Buccaneers are coming up, the Falcons are coming up, Saints are there. But I feel that the Carolina Panthers, just by talent alone, still having the reigning MVP back there in Cam Newton, will overcome and win the division, because we just have more talent than the Falcons, Saints, and Buccaneers.
Well, I tell you what, you're right. The Buccaneers have a lot of young talent down there. In Atlanta, they were so-so this year. They were up and down. And New Orleans, you know what I'm saying, they go as Drew Brees go. But I tell you what, it's going to be a lot tougher this year. That was a very optimistic pick, quote that you quoted at 10-6. I think I'm right along those 9-9-7 with you guys this year. I think Cam, I ain't going to say he's going to regress. I think he still is going to progress in certain areas. But,
yeah,
you know, that division is going to be a whole lot tougher. But let's slide back to this basketball, man. Give me your prediction for the rest of the series between the Cavs and the Raptors. Do you think they're going to wrap it up at 6 or is it going to go 7?
Oh, I'm going to say it's going to go 7. I feel that Toronto's played back-to-back 7-game series. I think this one is another 7 games. I think each team is going to win on their home floor, and I think Cavaliers are going to take it out in Game 7 back in Cleveland.
But you wouldn't expect it to go 7 when with those first two games, how they jumped out and just blew Toronto out of the water, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Toronto held serve at home, and, you know, they got to get those guys credit. And, you know, you got to get a coach credit up there in Toronto, man. He has really pushed all the right buttons to put those guys in the position to win. And, I mean, to me, DeMar DeRozan has really picked up his game from the last series to this series, because he was really a no-show in that series against Miami, you know, but besides the last
game. Oh, yeah.
And he's picked up his game, but I heard a little small rumor, man, that he might be wanting to go back home. And, you know, they got a lot of cap space out there in L.A., man. He's an L.A. kid. He's a California kid. He's from the L.A. area. Yeah, he's from the L.A. area. So, I mean, they need a big name out there, you know what I'm saying? And why not, you know, bring hometown kids back home? What do you think about that?
Yeah, because he's from Compton, and, you know, growing up in Compton, having dreams of playing the Lakers is his team he always watched. So I'll try to look out for that. It's like him trying to go home. It's like LeBron going home, much like DeMar DeRozan going home and playing for the Lakers. And plus, they have a huge void since Kobe's retired, and he plays the same position as Kobe. So I'll look out for that.
I feel you. But, hey, we got one big game going tonight too, man. I'm going to give me your prediction tonight. And, you know, speaking of the Golden State Warriors, they had lost back-to-back games all year. And I don't expect, me personally, I don't expect them to lose tonight. I expect them to, you know, to go in OKC, be in focus. Steph probably having about 45 tonight. Klay chipping in about 30. Draymond doing his thing with the rebounds. I really look at a big-time win tonight for the Golden State Warriors. What do you think?
To the contrary of that, I believe that Oklahoma City is going to win, but I have a caveat, if you will. I think the Warriors will win the next 3 games after that, that the Warriors will take the series, and that Warriors win Game 5 in Oakland, Game 6 in Oklahoma City, Game 7 in Oakland. But I do feel that Oklahoma City has a slight edge on Golden State tonight, which will cause – Oklahoma City go up 3-1 in series.
I beg to differ on that one, brother. I got Golden State, man. But, hey, Mark, it's been nice. It's been real, man. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, we're going to have to do this again here on the Willie P. Show. That was Mark. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, no problem, Willie. I'll see you later, man.
And that was Mark. And I give – he gave his prediction tonight that the Oklahoma City Thunder would go up 3-1. I highly doubt that one. Like I've stated before, I got the babyface assassin going into OKC tonight, scoring at least 40 points tonight, coming out with a W. This has been Willie P. on the Willie P. Show.
Start it. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team.